Hello and welcome to our second in this series on the subject of prayer. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer." Now, if you've read anything about Bible prophecy and see what the Bible says in Matthew 24 and a lot of other places about the end time, I think this verse should come alive for us right now. The end of all things is at hand. Look at what's been going on in 2020 and what's coming on in 2021. It's got to be close. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch under prayer. Now, in our previous program, we were looking in Luke chapter 11 at this story about prayer. And it says, "It came to pass that as he," that is Jesus, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." It's important to understand that he was praying, and he prayed a lot, but he was here on earth, in a certain place. He had a time, and he had a place, and we need to do that. And then his disciples, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like that." I think they saw something in his prayer life that was missing in theirs. And perhaps we can come up with the same conclusion today. We need to learn how to pray. And Jesus is really the only one who can teach us to pray and teach us how to pray. We pick it up today in verse 5. He gave them this example. He said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Now, the first thing we see here is he goes at midnight. The Bible says that love seeketh not her own, including her own schedule. If we're going to get anywhere with the need of reaching people with this story, we need to realize that we've got to do some sacrificing here. Sacrificing love seeketh not her own, including her own schedule. It's midnight. He's out here because he has a friend who is in his journey. Now, what we need to do is we need to get our eyes open to the need that is around us concerning our friends who are not ready to meet the Lord. They are in their journey, and someone has said, in every graveyard, you look at the tombstone and you see a short dash between 2 dates. And life is like that. It goes so fast from the time we come into this world, and we're teenagers, we get young, married, and then we're got that cane there heading for that tombstone. That's fine if you're saved. Great. I've read the last chapter. It turns out pretty good for those of us who know the Lord as Savior. But what about those friends that are in their journey that do not know the Lord? A friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. We need to understand that we are in a situation where we have total inability to help. I have nothing to set before him. If a child was dying, was very sick and went to the hospital, and the doctor said, "Well, if he makes it for the next 24 hours, he'll be all right, but it doesn't look good." What would happen? Well, if we cared at all, we would phone everybody we know and say, "Little so-and-so is sick. Let's pray. Let's pray. There's nothing we can do for him. The doctors can't do anything for him. It's up to the Lord now." And so it is with our friends that are in their journeys. We need to realize that there's nothing we can do. When we first started the college there at Faithway Baptist Church, at Faithway Baptist College in Ajax years ago, one of the people that was going to be on the staff with us, she was there. Her and her husband were coming. It was a week or two before the college opened, and she got very ill, and we took her back to Michigan, and they put her in the hospital, and she was very sick all of a sudden. And the doctors were saying it didn't look good. Well, we got everybody we knew, and we said, "We have to pray for her. Let's start praying. We're going to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that she gets better." And so someone said, "All right, I can pray from 10 until 11 at night." And someone said, "I can pray from 11 till 12." And someone else said, "I'll pray from 12 to 1." And we got someone praying 24 hours a day for her to get better. I was in my office, and the school had started, the college did, and I was going up to speak in the chapel service, and my phone rang, and I got the message that she had just passed away. Well, I went to the students that morning, and I was telling them that she had passed away, and we were weeping and crying and very sad, and rightfully so. But I said to them, "We've been praying for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to keep a friend out of heaven. And we've got friends in their journey who don't know the Lord, and are we praying for them?" But if we just stop and realize we have a total inability to help, if we could just go to God and get serious about praying for those friends that are in their journey. Well, it's interesting in verse 7, he said, "From within, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give aid. Trouble me not. The door is shut. Forget it. You're not getting anything from me." Now, we need to understand that when it comes to this subject of prayer, God's delays are not denials. We need to realize that it may take a while. When I got saved, I was just 12 years old, and my dad was a drunk. He got drunk every night of the week. Our home was a real mess. I went to him the next day after I was saved, and I said, "Dad, I got saved last night. I have quit smoking, and I want a Bible." He didn't know I'd started smoking. I was only 12 years old, but I need a Bible. Well, I started praying for my dad. I had a list, and I put it in my shirt pocket. On the top of that list was my dad. The second one on that list was my uncle. His name was Tom, Uncle Tom. He used to get drunk quite a bit too. And so he was my mother's brother. And so within 10 days, my dad got saved. Wow, that was really exciting, and our whole family knew the Lord as Savior. What a great day that was. Well, I started praying for Uncle Tom. I was 12 years old. I kept that list in my pocket. It got so dirty and dog-eared you could hardly read it, but I knew Uncle Tom was on that list. And I prayed for him. And I can remember when I was 17 years old driving my car down past a hotel where he used to drink, and I saw him coming down the steps half drunk, and I took out my list and I prayed for Uncle Tom. I've been praying for Uncle Tom since I was 12. And then I was in my 20s, 23, 24 years old, and I'm still praying for Uncle Tom. And one day a pastor came to visit with me, and he had started a church in the area, and we had a good talk. And I said, "Look, let's go for lunch." He said, "No, I can't right now. Today's the day I just go knocking on doors and try to see if I can find somebody to trust the Lord as their Savior." And okay, we don't want to interrupt that. And so he went. He actually got in his car and drove about 8, 9 miles to a town, not right where we were, another town. He pulled his car over, got out, knocked on the first door that he knocked on, and led my Uncle Tom to Jesus Christ that morning. It may take a while. No, the trouble me not, the door is shut, I cannot rise. He's saying no, or maybe he's saying not right now. We said in the previous program, if you can prove to God that Jesus wants it, you can pray in Jesus' name. Does Jesus want Uncle Tom saved? Yeah, he wanted my dad saved. He wanted my Uncle Tom saved. We're not going to understand this side of heaven how powerful prayer is. When my dad got saved, the very first day he had off work, he put us in the car. He drove for about 2.5 hours to a farm where he used to work when he was a teenager. These people were Christians, and they were trying to get him to accept the Lord as Savior, and he just laughed at them and ridiculed them. He drove to that farm. He drove down that driveway, and he the people were standing in the driveway, and I remember sitting in the back of that Ford. I remember it, my dad rolled down the window. He said, "You probably don't remember me," but he said, I'm Kenny Kirkland. I used to work for you when I was a teenager." "Oh yeah." And my dad said, "I just came up here to tell you that I received Christ as my personal Savior last week." And the people said, and I heard them, I was sitting in the back seat there, the people said, "We have not ceased to pray for you since you have left this farm." He was a teenager. He got saved. He was 41 years old. We got to understand our total inability to help. We got to realize that, if we're going to keep on praying, it might be a while before God answers prayer. There's a reason for that. That's a whole nother message. But the Bible says, "Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap." And sometimes God says, "No, they got to reap a little bit more of their nonsense before they can be saved." But whatever the case is, we need to realize that we need to trust the Lord. And then he said, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." We have to make it personal. Notice it says everyone. You can spell that two ways. You could have it all one word, and that'll be the group. Or you can have it two words, which means every single person that asketh. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This is a promise that God has given to us. And then he said, "If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" What we need to do is we need to make it specific. Not only realize, "Hey, this is for me," but pray specific prayers. We sometimes pray our generic prayers. "Lord, give us an increase in attendance next Sunday," and we get three more people come in and say, "Wow, I got that." No, why don't we just ask for eight or three or seven? You want some bread? You want a fish? You want an egg? It's very specific here. And so, in conclusion, the Lord gave them this example here when they said, "Teach us to pray." One of the things we have to do is get our eyes open to the need that is around us. We need to have a sacrificing love that seeketh not our own schedule. We need to realize our total inability to help. We need to pray. And we need to expect it's not maybe going to answer as quickly as we would hope it would. We need to make it personal, and we need to pray specifically that God would save certain people. That, "Lord, I have a friend in a journey. He has a need," earnestly praying. Jesus said to his disciples, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" What we need to do is turn the clock back a little bit, set that alarm for an hour earlier, and get up and spend an hour talking to the Lord about these things. Be sure and be with us for our next program as we look at this portion of Scripture again. "The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." In the meantime, listen to this message and song, "Make It Your Prayer."
Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. This is my heart cry, day unto day. I long to know Thy will and Thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with Thee. Power in prayer, Lord, power. sorrow and care. Men lost and dying, souls in despair. Oh, give me power, power in prayer. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with Thee. To pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Thou art my pattern day unto day. Thou art my surety now and forever. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with